Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Convergence. Welcome to the first public sector session of Convergence. My name is Kirsten Edmondson-Wolf. I'm the Global Industry Director for Public Sector for Dynamics, which means my job is to help all of our public sector customers and our public sector partners really take advantage of the wonderful public sector-specific functionality we have in CRM and AX, as well as the larger Microsoft Cloud across the Dynamics stack. Today, joining me is my colleague, Kim Nelson, who is from the US public sector team, specifically focused on state and local. And unlike sessions, so many, I recognize many of you from Convergence events in the past. Unlike past events, what we're really gonna talk to today is the Microsoft stack, and most importantly, the Microsoft Cloud. We now have a Microsoft Cloud for government, and we are really focusing on enabling our public sector customers to take advantage of the cloud in a very trusted, compliant, secure way. So, Kim, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to come on up.
Okay. Thank you, Kirsten. So, Kirsten said that today I'm going to be speaking a little bit about our Microsoft Government Cloud. I'll be talking about solutions on our government cloud, and then in particular, the Microsoft CityNext program. So just a little bit of context. I'm in our state and local government organization. At Microsoft over the years, I've worked federal as well, and then state and local. My background is in government. I spent about 26 years in government before I joined Microsoft. And the team that I run here at Microsoft is a state and local government solutions team. And what that means is we are really a partner-led team, or a partner-focused team. We work with the partners that are building vertical solutions on the Microsoft platform. So our vertical solution areas are health and human services, justice and public safety, and e-government. And we just sort of say, well, e-government's everything that we think is important that doesn't fit in the first two categories. So if you're a partner, and you're building a vertical solution that you think is strategically important to the government customers, that you think is repeatable and scalable, and that you think, and that is being built on the platforms that are most important and strategic to us, Azure, Gov, and CRM online in our Gov platform, then you should be speaking to my team because you're the kind of partner we want to work with on a regular basis. So, a little bit about sort of the way we're looking at the market out there. Obviously, our government customers are being faced with an incredible array of issues. My team spends a lot of time focusing conversations outside of the CIO's office with either corrections commissioners, public safety commissioners, health and human services commissioners, secretaries of state, secretaries of transportation, mayors, governors, dealing with all kinds of issues that they're being faced with today. And as we look at these issues, we know that there are incredible opportunities for Microsoft to help support and address these issues, and not Microsoft alone. Microsoft and our partners to address any one of these issues. This is what we're hearing from our government customers. And particularly at the end, I'm going to talk about our CityNext program. Fundamentally, when we talk to our mayors about the kinds of things Microsoft can do with them, it almost always comes down to that word right there in the middle, the economy. Because for every mayor out there, it really is about economic development. They'll talk to you about education, they'll talk to you about health, they'll talk to you about public safety, but ultimately, all of those issues are the economic drivers for those mayors because they are living in a global economy and they are incredibly competitive, and if they can't address all those issues, health and public safety and education, to drive the economy, then they know they're going to be a loser in the global economy. So they're the issues we're focused on. So I have a slide here. I'm not going to obviously read all these slides. I do have a quote here from Mayor Reed right here in Atlanta. I thought that was appropriate. We do work with mayors across the nation. Last year, you know, Atlanta feels a little bit like home for those of us here in Microsoft, between Convergence being here, many of you know, our large global meeting during the summer for the sales team is here, our MGX meeting is here. So this convention facility and these stages feel very comfortable to us. But we had Mayor Reed from Atlanta here, right here in the convention center at the Worldwide Public Sector event, speaking to our VP at the time of Worldwide Public Sector. And one of the things he addressed was basically this quote, that Microsoft is really at a unique spot in terms of our ability to help our government customers. And his point was that technology is a true force multiplier, and Microsoft is going to play a bigger and bigger role around the world. And that's what we're seeing, that Microsoft, as a partner with you, can bring incredible opportunities for innovation to our government customers. So, you know, ever since I've been working on cloud here at Microsoft, and that's from the very beginning, since our earliest cloud products were introduced. And that's because, as I said, while my team does vertical solutions and focused in vertical solutions in those priority areas, we're also looking for those solutions that are driving Microsoft's most strategic products, our emerging products. So my team's always out in front with partners who we're developing on Azure, partners developing on CRM Online, or any of our emerging products. And it's always fascinating to me, since we've been doing this, how many partners would come to me and say, you know, government's just not ready for the cloud. Government's just not ready. And I got to tell you, we are seeing a very different government than many of our partners are seeing, because our government customers have been moving to the cloud very quickly. And I'll say that in state and local government. I know federal government had some challenges around their certifications and other issues, but in state and local government, the government customers have rapidly moved to the cloud. And these are just some of the headlines pulled from publications and other journals in terms of government interest in the cloud. The reason I put this here is because one of the things I want to emphasize, we often have to, you know, think about these decisions are made by the IT staff and others, but increasingly we are seeing these IT decisions are being made by governors, and they're being made by mayors, and they're being made by other elected officials. And you see that right here. U.S. governors put IT strategy on the front burner. Governments must rethink their approach to mobile. That last one, security and cloud services, represent the National Association of State CIOs' top two priorities. So the issues we're talking about are top of mind for our government government officials. When we look at the vision that we want to present to our government customers, it's fully in line with what you heard from Satya this morning. It's really about empowering individuals, and it's about empowering organizations. Empowering our government organizations. We want to do it through a different lens. We want to do it through the lens of a safer, a healthier, a better educated, more modern, and more sustainable community. But it's really the same message you heard this morning. So, our Microsoft Government Cloud. It was uncovered in December. Satya was there for the grand announcement around the unveiling of our Microsoft Government Cloud. The things that are unique about this cloud, I will cover in three different steps here. First and foremost, when you think of the Microsoft Government Cloud, you see productivity in there with Office 365. You see business applications in there with Dynamics CRM Online. And you see Azure Government in there for platform and infrastructure as a service. We are unique. There's no other company out there that can provide their customers with all three of these capabilities in a government cloud. And then when you look at the kinds of capabilities we can bring to the government cloud, it is so amazing when you sit with a government customer, you sit with a partner, and they talk about their Oracle applications, and you say, do you know we can run Oracle in our Microsoft Azure cloud? And every single one of them sit back and say, really? Sometimes they say, you know, I thought I heard something about that, but that didn't make sense to me. I didn't think that could be true. It is true. So when we have these conversations, these are incredibly powerful conversations for our government customers. A few things that make our government cloud unique. How many people were here maybe at the December 9th event? Was anybody at the launch? Okay, just a handful of people. Good, so I won't be too repetitive here. So our Microsoft Government Cloud, in addition to having those three capabilities in it, is also unique among our competitors. Some things to think about. One is that the Government Cloud is physically remote from Azure. So when you think about our commercial Azure, or commercial Office 365, or commercial CRM Online, everything about our Government Cloud is physically remote. The people working in the Microsoft Office Government Cloud environment are screened employees. That means they're background checked, they're fingerprinted, they're actually under constant surveillance. We don't do that in any of our other data centers. The reason that is significant is we are the only company that has agreed to do that with our employees, to do the background checks and the screening and the fingerprinting with our government, with the individuals in our data centers. The data will always stay in the United States in our two data centers. Two data centers physically remote from one another, over 500 miles apart, one in Iowa, one in Southern Virginia, so that we actually have backup and disaster recovery, but physically distant enough so that if one goes down, hopefully the other doesn't, unlike some of our government customers that might do disaster recovery 5 miles from a data center or 10 miles from a data center that they already have. And lastly, the services that we're providing in our government cloud are the services that are most requested by our government customers. So, where are we in terms of compliance around our government cloud? The reason Microsoft went out and built the government cloud was because we heard from our government customers the demands and the requirements they have for certifications and compliance. Now, I used to work in the federal government. I spent 5 years at a federal agency. And at the federal level, it's easier to understand, maybe, the requirements that are coming out and more consistent across some of the federal agencies. Everybody probably, anybody who's been doing any work in the federal government is familiar with FedRAMP and the cloud-first approach by the federal government. So that was a requirement at the federal level. In addition, they have DOD requirements, and they have DISA certifications. Also, certifications coming out of the IRS, IRS 1075. But for us in state and local government, the single biggest certification that was important to our state and local government customers was the Criminal Justice Information System security requirement. The ability to have law enforcement agencies or any other agency that needs to access the Department of Justice, FBI systems, for criminal justice purposes. That was the most important requirement for us. That was the important requirement that really required us to drive home requirements like background checks and fingerprinting and other requirements for our data center. And no other company today will do that with their employees in their government data center. They might tell you they have a government cloud, but they're not doing that, and they're not agreeing to the standards that allow the states to get their CJIS certification amendments signed. So today, we currently, and I have a map with me, I didn't put it here, I can show it to you or send it to you, we currently have 5 states that have already signed their CJIS amendments above and beyond the Office 365 to include Azure. And I'm proud to say Pennsylvania, my hometown, is the first state that has signed a CJIS amendment that includes CRM Online as well. So CRM Online, Office 365, and Azure in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So we are slowly going state by state to get these certifications. What this means, when you think about the problems our government customers are seeing and facing, when you think about the leadership that exists today with governors and mayors and their interest in IT and their interest in knowing how technology can really accelerate innovation, combined with what we've brought to the table with our government cloud, with productivity and Azure and CRM Online, the possibilities are really endless in terms of being able to develop solutions on our platform in a way that's fast and agile and meets our government customers' requirements. So these are just a few of the opportunity areas. There, I could put a slide up here that had hundreds of blocks. But these are just a few of the areas where our government customers are looking for solutions. So when we look at our Microsoft Government Cloud, and we look at sort of the major vertical areas within government, these are the four that we typically talk about. The first one, obviously, is at the federal level. The other three, though, and I've circled those, they're the three vertical areas of my team in state and local government. So we are, again, specifically looking for you, our partners, who are building solutions on the government cloud in one of these three areas. So I'm going to take a break. I'm going to turn it over to Kirsten. She's going to spend a little time talking to you specifically about Dynamics and some other issues. And then I'll come back and we'll finish up and wrap with CityNext. Thanks, Kirsten.
Right. Thank you, Kim. So very quickly here, who here in the room is from the United States? Who in the room is not from the United States? All right, so all of you are sitting there going, that's great, Kim, U.S. government, lovely, fabulous, what about us? I'm not announcing anything. All right? But I can tell you, well, with one exception. Is anyone here from Australia? We've publicly announced that our next country for a government cloud is Australia, of the three services. So all three services, we're working towards that now. Launch is scheduled sometime in April, but we have publicly announced that Australia is next. So I can say to everyone in the room is we have a strategy across the company that we are looking very specifically at providing cloud services to the certification levels required by the government in question for cloud services in that country. We're going through that process now, that business justification evaluation. So I'm not officially announcing anything outside of Australia, which is already public, but it is something that I encourage all of you to keep connected with your Microsoft account teams to understand what's happening, because we have an intention of actually delivering these things to as many governments as we possibly can. All right? So let's talk about dynamic government. As I said at the beginning, my job at Microsoft is to really look at the dynamic solutions, specifically CRM and AX, and map them more effectively to our government and public sector customers, as well as elected officials, political parties, campaigns, that type of thing. And so what we've really tried to do over the last, my team and I, working with Kim and the public sector team in the US, as well as the worldwide public sector team, is really to understand how can we do a better job of enabling you all to do more with less, be much more focused and collaborative with your constituents, be they police officers or citizens or the elderly or children at risk or other government workers, and how can we really provide solutions across the Microsoft stack that deliver those services much more effectively. In Microsoft Dynamics, we call it dynamic government. I swear we tried to find a better word that didn't seem so marketing. We couldn't, because what we're really talking about is that dynamic, integrated, collaborative environment that allows you to work directly with those people that you serve. So what are we talking about? We're talking about today the age of the citizen. Today, citizens and constituents around the world have phones in their pockets that are essentially computers. They can order a book from Amazon and download it immediately and read it. They have instant gratification. I was just reading an article this morning from the AP. Associated Press did a survey of people 18 to 24 years old. Do they read the news? Because there's this assumption that young people don't read the news anymore because they're not watching the nightly news. 60% of them said they read the news hourly because they're getting those feeds. They're setting it up in Facebook or they're setting it up in RSS feeds to deliver it to their phone or to their tablet so that they can continuously be updated on what's happening in the world. It's completely different today than it was when I was a kid years ago. And I had to watch it on the evening news. And I would listen to my president when he would stand up and give a speech and it would be shown on the news. Or a little bit later when President Clinton became got into power and he would go on the Tonight Show, which was revolutionary because certainly President Reagan didn't do that. But it's completely different today about how people consume their news, how they purchase books, how they purchase music. I can today renew my driver's license in the Commonwealth of Virginia on my phone. I expect it. I don't think it's a great new whiz-bang thing. And my best friend's son, who's 18 years old, only applied for a driver's license on a website. Never went into the DMV. This is fundamentally, this expectation of generations coming up is fundamentally changing the way government organizations need to deliver services. And I think that's really one of the key ways we're looking at it from a Dynamics perspective and from a Microsoft perspective. So what does this mean? Well, this means that they expect it to be treated like customers. They want 24/7, 365 service. If they want to, you know, get a new driver's license at 2 o'clock in the morning, that's up to me. It's none of your business. It should be up and working. Because I can buy a book, God bless Amazon, I can buy a book at 2 a.m. Why can't I get my new driver's license? Why can't I register to vote? Why can't I report a problem with, I'm walking home, I'm 20 years old, I'm walking home from class. I need lights to be on because I'm scared if the lights are off. I want to report an outage at 2 o'clock in the morning coming home from a study session. I want to be able to do that. We have a customer, the London Borough of Newham, have an app called I Love Newham. They paid a lot of money for that marketing, by the way. I Love Newham. It's an Android, iOS, Windows phone app that allows you to get services 24/7 from the Department of Public Works. So if I am walking home after a study session and there is a problem with the lighting, I can report it immediately and they can get someone out there to fix it. Or they can send that case automatically, route it to the police department if there's a safety issue. This is the way the London Borough of Newham is looking at treating citizens like customers. Another one I'll give you, I could go on, I love these stories. This is why I love technology and I love government, because this is to me what's revolutionary about it. A large benefits organization in the United States managing elderly benefits uses an application called Paracher, which is knowledge management. And if you go to the website, ssa.gov, I'm not saying, ssa.gov, it's actually managed by Paracher. So the idea is to enable the retiree or the citizen to get about 80% through the process of understanding what they need to do to get their SSA benefits, so that when they finally, the goal is so that they never have to call, they can do it themselves. But if they do have to call, the agent can help them finish the process. It's not about the application, it's not about the product, it's about improving their customer service and reducing the wait time from months to hours to get things solved. And it's changed the way Americans see Social Security Administration, because they're starting to think of people as customers, not just as citizens. I think I've sort of talked about this one, which is comes down to how citizens are expecting their services to be delivered 24/7, 365 on a mobile device. Agile delivery, so that as needs in society changes, your services can change with it. And you can really only do that with the cloud. Just to nail this place, this point home, Lieutenant Governor of California gave a speech about 3 years ago when he was running for Lieutenant Governor, and he said, He had been at one point the CIO of the city of San Francisco. And then he was the mayor of San Francisco, and then he ran for lieutenant governor. And he said, it's the most amazing thing. We are cutting edge in the state of California in terms of IT for 1973. He wrote a book. He was so annoyed. He wrote a book on it, which I read. And it's actually fascinating because it comes down to how do we make the jump? And in government, in a lot of places, and I know I used to work for a mainframe company. That's all I'll say. Still in witness protection program about that. It's harder to take those incremental steps because of the budget involved. It's costly to get off the mainframe and get onto a more modern system. It's not as costly to go from a mainframe into a cloud, provided that cloud is trusted, it has the security protocols and the certifications that you need. And so what we're really focusing on is building the clouds that allow you to do that. We actually have a customer, the Department of Corrections in the state of Illinois, that recently moved, it was about a year ago, I guess, because he talked about it on this stage last year, moved off completely off the mainframe and moved everything into the cloud. And now they're migrating into the CRM Online Government Cloud. So, and it's the entire Microsoft stack. They're delivering prisoner services through the government cloud to their constituents as well as their prisoners. But they're off the mainframe now completely, because it was more cost effective for them to do that. It was easier and faster for them to do that than to do an on-prem interim step. I have a tendency to just tell stories and I go faster than my slides on occasion, so I apologize. So what's our philosophy here in Dynamics? And it really comes down to all governments everywhere, and I know I'm gonna get some head shaking to this, head nodding, I should say, not head shaking. All governments everywhere, with the exception of North Korea, Zimbabwe, and on certain occasions, Belarus and Iran, care about three things. They care about providing services to citizens or constituents to the level of expectations of those constituents and citizens. They care about protecting the jurisdiction from internal and external threat, and they care about managing the cost to government. Everything, and I've worked in 67 countries, and with the exception of Zimbabwe and North Korea, have never seen examples that don't fit into those three buckets. The way we look at it is, how do we as a technology company enable you as a government IT person or a government business decision maker or a government employee to meet those requirements? So our strategy really is around value creation. How do we help you create value? Whether it's reducing the call time when somebody needs help with their Social Security, or it's improving the ability of a Justice Department or a Corrections Institute to manage prisoners so the right people get out and the wrong people don't get out, and they know who does what to whom and where they're supposed to be in the system. It's a public safety issue, right? Whatever that value is that created, helping you create value. Second is managing cost. It's more with less, right? I mean, it's after 2000 and the 2008, when the economy kind of fell apart, that's really when this became acute. We don't have the ability now to ramp up spending just because the economy is getting better. We still have to do more with less. So how are we going to do that? And how are we going to more effectively, and this is something that we're working on really hard in Dynamics, connect the budget and funding accounts to the actual outcomes, so that when an elected official looks at you and says, hey, we really wanted to decrease diabetes in this population of children at risk who have weight problems and diabetes, how do we do that? Did we do that? You can actually say, yes, well, you gave us $50 million to do that, and we've pulled all this information out of CRM Online. We've applied Power BI to it, and we can actually show you that, in fact, we did do that. We have a customer in Great Britain, the city of Manchester, with the City Next program, is actually trying to do just that. Still in pilot, but they actually have the entire Microsoft stack, and they're trying to map diabetes instances, funding to how the students are actually receiving treatment, as well as efforts to get them fit and better fed and in school, so that they can actually then show the reduction of cost in the hospital system. So that's just an example of a customer doing that. But the last piece of it, and to me this is the most exciting and certainly the most impactful, is people-centric productivity. What this is about is empowerment, and you heard a lot about this morning. We've been weaving this into Dynamics for years. There will be a head nodding here. No one goes into government for the stock options or the great bonus potential. You go into government because you are passionate about something. And over time, because of bureaucracy and politics and paperwork, that passion is still there, but it's not front and center. We see this a lot when we talk about health and human services and children at risk. Those social workers didn't stop caring about their children. They struggled with getting through the day so they could focus on the children. What we're trying to do with dynamic government, with CRM integrated into Surface tablets and Office 365 and Bing Maps and Skype for Business, is reignite the passion of the government workforce so they can actually do what they got into government to do, rather than worrying about the paperwork. And so that's the underlying philosophy we have within Microsoft Dynamics when it comes to public sector, is reigniting the passion and empowering the workforce. And that's what we do every single day when we start building out, whether it's business process templates for CRM 2015, or it's integration for grants management of AX and CRM, or it's building Azure portals that allow our government customers to take a lot of these mobile technologies out into the field, or the integration with the larger communication tools in Office. That's where we're going, and that's what the underlying passion is. So great, Kirsten, that's lovely, but what does it mean? What it means is you can actually increase the ease and quality of the interactions with you and your constituents so that they know when they need you, they can do most of it, especially the younger generations. But even, I mean, my mother is in her 70s, and she can actually get her driver's license online now. People know how to do most of it themselves, and with the consumerization of IT, you actually see a lot of people doing a lot of it themselves. So you can enable them through knowledge management to do themselves. But at the end of the day, when they do need you, it's a high-touch, high-quality interaction, and they need you to be there. And we can actually help you do that. Empower employees to drive positive outcomes. We have one example we have is grants management. We have a number of customers doing grants management, and one in particular is in the EU. And because it's just now going live, I can't drop the name of the customer, but they're managing EU farm grants, $2 billion worth of EU farm grants into a specific country. And when this was not done well, farmers got the wrong amounts, and there were suicides. Because family farms aren't big cash cows. They really do live harvest to harvest. And if you mess that up, you've ruined an entire family. So we've actually got, it's AX and CRM integrated into the larger, it was a Microsoft customer and they bought AX and CRM to actually do grants management because they could connect the funding source to the outcomes and they could actually report from a transparent perspective exactly where the money went, what was happening with that money. They had geospatial maps they're integrating into CRM, so you can actually see if they said they were going to graze sorghum, they rose sorghum, because we have a map of it. But they've empowered their employees who were so sort of run down and they didn't want to leave their office because of the problems with the grants in the past, are now getting out and going and meeting with farmers because they are confident in the information that they have. And it's on a tablet. In this instance, it's on an iPad. But we're agnostic. It's about the experience. It's about the empowerment. And if this government agency decided to buy iPads, good luck to them. We're going to enable that experience on the iPad. And so now you're seeing internal job satisfaction increasing with this specific customer. And then, of course, we've talked about do more with less, that it really does come down to making better business decisions. understanding when a series of potholes actually becomes a capital investment project. It's more than just a nuisance, it's actually a requirement that you get it fixed. Integrating Power BI so that you can actually extrapolate that data and make better decision makings, and then being able to share it across platforms so that you know when you make that investment, it's the right investment and that the money is going to where it's supposed to go. And then lastly, as we've talked about citizen service capabilities, a lot of this is really focused on not only you providing better services and much more high-touch services, but at the same time enabling your work, constituency and the citizens in their jurisdiction to do much more on their own. Most of this information is public. They just can't figure out how to get through it all. And if you can use the right tools to actually help them migrate their way through, say paying your taxes, it's almost April 14th, really understanding how to do a better job of getting through the process. It is something that, that citizens are really looking for government to be able to do. So with that, any questions real quick? I'm going to ask Kim to come back up, talk about City Next. All right.
Thank you. Kirsten had to mention April 15th. My husband and I got married on April 16th. It was a long time ago. The reason we got married on April 16th was back then in the Catholic Church, you couldn't get married during Lent. And that was the first weekend after Lent, because we went to get married in the spring. What we failed to realize until our first anniversary was, it's really depressing to celebrate your wedding anniversary the day after you pay your taxes. And it got more depressing each year. It didn't get better. It just got more depressing with more taxes we had to pay. But it is what it is. So that's my advice to anybody who's thinking about getting married. Don't get married the day after your taxes are due. So let me get a sense here. City Next. I'm going to talk about City Next. So there might be some people who are ready to zone out and say, oh, I don't deal with cities. How many people here in the audience work with cities as customers? Okay, so only about a third. What, the other half, are you working with federal government? Regional governments? About that? Okay. So the one thing I want you to keep in mind, we do call it City Next, but you can really think about this as City Next, County Next, Regional Government Next, Education Next, you know, Department of Defense Next, because really the concepts I'm going to talk about apply to lots of different government entities. So don't zone out if you don't deal specifically with cities. But there is a reason we did initiate or launch a City Next program. And that is, Kirsten mentioned Mayor Newsom, who went on to become a governor. There are a few others, you know, in the country, mayors who went on to become governors. Mayor Rendell from my home city of Philadelphia went on to become governor. And I dare say there are probably a few sitting mayors out there today who hope to be governor, something above and beyond that. But the point of the matter is, if you really look at cities and what's happening to cities, is that there is a huge growth in cities in terms of focus, the economy, the emphasis on cities, that they are really emerging globally in terms of the importance they're facing. In fact, I was on a call with Navigant Consulting earlier this week, and one of the things they projected was that the amount of money that would be spent on smart city-like projects, I'll get that last picture in there for somebody who's taking a photo, the amount of money projected to be spent on smart city kinds of initiatives over a nine-year period starting last year was about $175 billion. So the cities are a huge growth market. In the United States, we know that, and globally, about 80% of all the GDP in the country is generated by activity in cities. Cities use about 80% of all the energy in the United States. And globally, for the first time, the population last year in cities exceeded that of of rural areas or suburban areas. So increasingly, we really do see cities becoming a much higher profile. I'll also say, I'm not an IT person. I have a background in political science, and my master's degree is in public administration. I think that the quality of people you're seeing serving as mayors today has certainly increased over the years. So you are seeing very professional people emerge as city leaders. Again, going back to how I started off the conversation with many of these city leaders knowing that technology is the way to accelerate innovation in their cities. So when we look at cities, we do have a special focus on them because they are increasingly important to our economy and to the growth and the expenditure on IT. We know that our cities are embracing new technologies. And as we look to the leaders across the country, we often talk to them about some of the things that we see happening. Those same mayors, like Mayor Newsom, who had an incredible technology background, recognized that if they were going to accelerate innovation, they basically needed to focus on some of the things you see here. And when we look at the cities that are really innovating, it is because they're embracing cloud. It is because they understand big data and open data kinds of initiatives. It is because they're putting those mobile applications out there, some of which Kirsten already talked to. And it is because they're embracing social, some of the examples Kirsten talked about, in terms of new ways of using social. And all of these things are really enabled by the cloud. It's as simple as that. I don't ever like to talk about the cloud as sort of just a trend, because to me, the cloud is the enabler of the other trends that we see in government today. So when we look at cities, and we talk about our City Next program, the thing I love about the approach Microsoft has taken with City Next is that it is just so practical. As I indicated, my background is my bachelor's degree is in political science. So I spent 26 years in government, but I spent all 26 years as a political appointee. So I used to think in four-year increments all the time because I was always serving at the will of a political appointee. And when you think in four-year increments, it's a very different way of thinking every day and going to work every day. I actually had one cabinet secretary who, when his calendar got handed out every day, he counted back how many days were left in terms of the governor's tenure. So everybody knew exactly how many days were left to accomplish something. So the beautiful part about City Next is that it's about leveraging what you have as a government customer, and it's about innovating at a pace that makes sense. And when we sit and have conversations with city leaders, you can just see them nodding their heads in agreement and relating. I can't tell you how many government leaders we've sat with who have been dispirited, disappointed in terms of city related efforts in the past and smart city kinds of concepts. They just didn't bear fruit. They didn't realize the potential that was laid out by whatever company was presenting them with this grand vision of the future. And the beautiful part about our City Next program is that it's not a cookie-cutter approach. It's not a program in a box. It's not a $500,000 grant we give to somebody and say, you know, go do something exciting with. What City Next is about having a conversation with a government leader and saying, what is it you want to accomplish in the next 2 years or 3 years or 4 years if you get them in the start of their administration? What are the things that you want done by the time you're running for re-election or your term is up? How do we focus on two or three of those priorities and see if we can align our Microsoft resources, our partner solution, with what you want done? Because we already have solutions developed. We already have partners that have proven solutions. If you want to focus on education, if you want to focus on economic development, if you want to focus on public safety, whatever it is, we can help you align and use that technology to accelerate innovation. So the three major areas of City Next you see there on the right. We like to talk about how do we transform operations and infrastructure. So that can be back-end operations. It could be, you know, actual building infrastructure, street infrastructure, parking, whatever. It's a broad category. The second is, how do you engage citizens and businesses? Those online transactions Kirsten was talking about. You know, how do you really get the government interacting online with their citizens and their customers? And then the third, so the first two are really where our partners come into play. It's our partners that have those solutions built on our platform. The third category is, how do we accelerate economic development, innovation in a local area? Is a little bit of Microsoft's responsibility. It's where Microsoft brings to the table some of our value-added services. It's where we bring some of our citizenship programs to the table. It's where we offer up programs like YouthSpark and BizSpark and hackathons and things that we can do to stimulate economic development in a community. You know, we're starting to put in Microsoft Innovation Centers. Our first one was announced in Miami last year. We just announced another one at Atlanta. So how do we go in there and really help a mayor drive economic development? So that third pillar really is ours. But the first two are where we work with our partners. So this is a little bit of a retweaking. Those of you who might have seen any City Next messaging last year, we are really looking at our City Next solutions in these five pillars. Modern cities, safer cities, healthier cities, educated cities, and what's a little new here is sustainable cities. This is an emerging area, and one that I think is increasingly going to become important. For me, I'm thrilled because many of my years in government were spent in environmental protection at a state level and at the federal level. So as we look and we see what some of the mayors are really trying to do in terms of saving energy, driving more sustainable programs, we thought it was important to pull out sustainable cities and build a fifth pillar. That Navigant research that I talked about earlier, in terms of $175 billion being spent over a nine-year period for smarter cities, also referenced that the two areas where they expected a great deal of the spending to occur, geographically, one was North America. Frankly, North America's a little behind in terms of smart cities, and the other was Europe. And then from a vertical area, the two areas where they expected most of the spending to occur were, one, transportation. So all kinds of smart transportation. Basically, anything that involves moving people, moving packages, you know, just anything, you know, not at rest. How do you get people into, you know, different kinds of ride-sharing services? You know, there's in addition to Uber and Lyft, there's now all kinds of van-sharing services. How do you help transit authorities in terms of making information more readily available to people? How do you make sure that, quote, the trains are really running on time? So transportation is probably one of the biggest areas Navigant is suggesting. And the second is around an energy cloud. And by an energy cloud, what they're proposing is, you know, we've talked in the past about the energy grid. But the energy grid is really sort of the same old utility industry that we've known for a lot of years, in many respects, with some smart sensors on it. It's still the utility industry in control of that grid and basically the generation and distribution of energy. But with the energy cloud that Navigant is suggesting, it really rolls into sustainable cities. And you see the windmills there. But the whole notion that in an energy cloud, there's all kinds of trading that's going to happen with energy. It's not just one company generating and then distributing energy out, but it's the sharing and seeing energy flow in all different directions between all different companies, between individuals, and creating a true energy economy, all built on the capabilities in the cloud today. So incredible opportunities as you go forward. When we look at our cloud activities today, I'm going to go back to one of the things I kicked off with, and that is the reason Microsoft developed our Microsoft Government Cloud was specifically to really lay the groundwork for Microsoft as the trustworthy cloud provider for our government customers to meet the demands that they were looking for to address their needs. So as we look at the importance of you talk to your government customers around things like cybersecurity, data privacy, compliance, these are the single most important messages we want to lead with when we're talking to our government customers. Bar none, the most important messages for our government customers. So, opportunities for those of you building solutions on our government cloud. Those areas that I talked to you before, we have broken down into some sub-areas for solutions. I will tell you, this slide is a work in progress. This slide, I think, will change. I work with our worldwide public sector team who run the CityNext program, and I fully expect this slide to change a little bit, but that's okay. It's a modification of last year's slide. We may be tweaking some of these subcategories a little bit. But again, if you are a partner and you have solutions that fit into any of these five areas that I've talked about, and you want your solution to be identified as a CityNext solution, there's an application process where you can apply to become a CityNext partner. The worldwide team has made that hurdle a lot lower than it was last year. I'm happy to provide you with the resources. At the end of the deck, there's resources. But I would encourage you to apply to become a CityNext partner. You simply identify the areas where you have proficiencies in these categories. Your solution will get featured on the Microsoft CityNext site, and you will then be accessible to anybody in the world who's searching the Microsoft CityNext site for solutions. I will tell you, if you've already applied, that there's a little bit of backlog right now. They've had a lot of applications pending to be CityNext partners. So they're not all posted on the website as of today, but they will get through them. They've hired a contractor to get through them. But it's a great opportunity to get your name in front of customers, because increasingly they are going to be searching on things like smart cities kinds of concepts. And if you're linked to our worldwide public sector site, your solutions can come up. So I'm going to just finish with a couple more slides and just wrap up and say we have many government customers today who are in our government cloud. The growth that we're seeing is tremendous. It really is based on the fact that, as I said in the beginning, we have the most complete cloud designed for government today, bar none, regardless of what other people you might hear. That this message is truly resonating with our government customers. They understand that we have the complete cloud. They understand that we also provide them the flexibility. So even with our government cloud, we know they're going to be on-premise. We know there are opportunities, even within our government cloud, to provide services on-premise, in a private cloud, in a public cloud, with our government cloud, to meet any of our needs from our government customers. So I'm going to wrap up. I'm going to ask if we have questions with Kirsten shortly. I do want to finish with a video. The video is on the County of Mecklenburg, which is a CityNext case study. So just to reinforce the fact that CityNext is just not cities. We do apply it to counties and others. But this is a video case study that we've done on the on Mecklenburg County. So we'll just run that at the end. But I do want to provide time for questions with Kirsten. And I started off the presentation today with a quote from Mayor Reed, who's local here. I'm going to finish with a quote from my area. I work out of our Washington, D.C. area, and we have many, many, many politicians to choose from in the D.C. area. But if you're still doubting whether cities are important and whether you should focus your business on cities, I'm just going to finish with one quote from one of Washington, D.C.'s favorite politicians today. That's hard to find, right? But I'm just going to finish with one quote from Washington's favorite politician. So if any of you are House of Cards fans, you might have seen, I think it was in episode 3, where when Frank Underwood was trying to convince the mayor of D.C. to get behind his workforce program, he said, you can add up 50 governors and 535 members of Congress, and you don't come close to the gumption of one bold mayor. So that's where mayors are today. Mayors are rising in prominence. Mayors are trying to take over the world, as one book alluded to last year, the title of a book, If Mayors Ruled the World. The economies in cities are increasingly important. There are huge opportunities for you, our partners, to work with us in cities. And, you know, if cities still aren't your thing, think about what you can do in counties or other regional governments, because all those solution areas apply to almost any organization in government. So, Kirsten's going to join me, and we're going to answer questions.
So, two things real quick before questions, administration stuff. One, at the back is a list of all of the public sector sessions that we have for you. This is the first year where we have an actual public sector track. So there are quite a number of sessions that we've pulled together for you, talking about various different solutions for government and public sector organizations. So please feel free. If you don't feel like having extra paper and you have the Convergence app, just search on public sector, because we did tag them for you. That's one thing. The second thing, please fill out the eval. You can tell us that we stink. You can tell us we should do better. I'm fine with that. What I really want is to give the dancers as much Microsoft money as we possibly can. Yeah. So please fill out the eval. It's really important to me that you do that, because I think that's a great opportunity for us to give back to the community. So now, questions? Yes, sir.
You mentioned on that slide.
On that slide particularly? Oh, okay.
Healthier cities.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
I was going to say yes, but she's the expert.
Yeah.
So do you have something like that out there from a partner today?
So I don't want to venture into that area specifically, because there are different kinds of health information exchanges. So let's talk off on the side about that, because it gets a little complex when you get into some of the health information exchange issues. But we can talk about that. But certainly, healthier cities, in terms of what we're doing with healthcare as well as social services, is a key pillar. Yeah.
Other questions? We lulled you to sleep, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're going to both be here for a while. We'll be here all week. Please let us know if you have any questions. And here's the video from Mecklenburg.
Thanks, everybody.
Mecklenburg County, North Carolina, has a population of nearly 1 million people, many of whom live in Charlotte, which is the 5th fastest growing city in the United States.
Mecklenburg County really embodies Microsoft City Next, in that we really look to our people to harness ideas and expertise to make this county a better place to work and live.
Office 365 has helped us to transform our organization by allowing us to focus on more strategic initiatives, because now we don't have to focus on the actual day-to-day operation of our email servers. We can now focus on finding all the technology solutions that we need in order to serve our departments.
The next steps I see for Mecklenburg County is expanding the deployment that we've already put in place of Surface Pros, leveraging the other Microsoft tools that we use, Office 365, the cloud. We put that very successfully in the hands of park and recreation employees who have to go to multiple locations. They're out in the field a lot. Youth and family service workers who are managing heavy caseloads, restaurant inspectors who are also very mobile, even our medical examiner. It untethers them from the traditional workplace, puts them in a more mobile and fluid setting, and that really saves them a lot of time, which ultimately saves the county money.
Prior to the Surface Pro, social workers were having to take huge laptops out into the field, lots of files and paperwork, and it would slow them down. After getting the Surface Pro, it makes them more mobile. They're allowed to do work in the field.
For restaurant inspections, I use the Surface to enter information, to look up previous inspections, to enter current inspections, to print out and provide forms to the facility operator or owner. And it just gives a quicker transaction between myself and the facility operator.
We deal with PHI, PII, HIPAA data, PCI data. And what the Surface Pro has done for us is allowed us to turn on BitLocker. And so using that device with BitLocker and with the VDI, so when the session is closed, the records are gone. So if a customer were to lose the device or get it stolen, they're going to get a really nice brick. So the move to Azure was really unique for us because we go from $21 a gig on-prem to 3 cents per gig. And so by moving our top 10 tier one apps to Azure and by moving our storage infrastructure to Azure, we're significantly reducing our costs.
Microsoft CityNext includes programs and initiatives such as USpark.
Microsoft USpark has helped the community as a whole by helping to raise awareness of this opportunity gap.
We were partners with Microsoft for the Career Discovery Day, and Microsoft sponsored the STEM, the Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math Zone. When we were able to connect with Microsoft and other businesses, whether it's through a Career Discovery Day or a job shadowing opportunity, it's just a win-win for the student and also for the business community in this city in terms of how we support our youth.